Your brothers and sisters, good morning. So since last we met, of course, there was a pretty big football game that took place at the Super Bowl. And I really enjoyed the first three quarters of the Super Bowl. I enjoyed it all, but I enjoyed the first three quarters of the Super Bowl. And why did I enjoy the first three quarters of the Super Bowl? Because the Chiefs got what they deserved, all right? They got what they deserved, and it was an act of justice on the biggest stage. It was fantastic. It was the righteousness of God manifested to the nations. It was beautiful. And if you follow football at all, and pretty much if you don't follow football even, you might know this, there was a lot of talk ahead of time about certain favoritism shown toward the Chiefs. I don't know if it's real or not. It doesn't matter. There was a lot of anger. And why were people angry? Because there was a perception of injustice. And it wasn't just that one team was cheating against another team. There was a perception that the league was cheating for one team. Again, I don't know if that's true or not. But I thought it was a magnificent image for what we're talking about this weekend. Because we continue to talk about justice, the virtue of justice, the virtue of fairness. And I mentioned last weekend that it's a complicated virtue because it involves all of our relationships and it gets really, really intense in all of its different particularities. And we're going to try to keep it as simple as possible. So last weekend we talked about religion, which is about our justice, our fairness toward God. Next weekend, we're going to talk about commutative justice, which is our justice between individuals. Okay. This weekend, we're talking about what's known as distributive justice, which is the justice that those in authority have to show to those under their care. The allocation of resources, the allocation of punishment, the allocation of, you know, money, everything that a society has to give to the members of that society. We remember, especially today from the first reading and from the gospel, that God himself is just and God himself runs his universe justly. We forget that sometimes, I think, but it's there, right? We hear in the opening prayer, God dwells in hearts that are just and true. It explicitly says that, right? Justice is a prerequisite in our hearts for God to dwell within us. And then we hear today in the gospel, right? We're used to hearing Matthew's Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, etc. But today we hear the ones of Luke from the Sermon on the Plain. And not only do we get four blessings, we get four curses, right? Blessed are the poor. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Blessed are you who weep now. And I want to say just in passing, because I think it's important, that now doesn't mean like this moment, right? So if you happen to be like dieting to get into a Mardi Gras dress, that's not like what this applies to. Like, oh, I'm hungry right now. Like, no, no, no. Now means in this present age, right? In this present age. So it's what Jesus is constantly talking about, is your allegiance to the powers and wealth and prosperity of this age, or is it to heaven, to the world to come? Right? Where is your allegiance? Where is your commitment? Because if your commitment's in this age, woe to you. And if your commitment's in the age to come, if your commitment's to heaven, if your commitment's to God, blessed are you. But in each case, you get what you deserve. Right? You get what you deserve. Our God is a God of cause and effect. And he wants justice in our societies. And so the church has taught profoundly about justice in our societies. And that would be in the society of the family, in the society of the community, in the society of the government. So, you know, I might use bigger examples today, but please understand that everywhere there's a society, there needs to be distributive justice. All right. So distributive justice is about allocating resources, punishments, rewards, etc. to the members of a society according to what they deserve. So this is one of the reasons why the church has always been and continues to be a loud voice against things like racism, classism, sexism, all of this stuff, right? Because there can never be a distribution of rewards, punishments, or resources based on anything other than what you deserve. And every bit of bias is always a flip away from strict merit. You all understand that? Okay. It also means that a government, and I need to be clear about this, a government in whatever level, government now, and family will be a little bit different, needs to operate on justice first, and justice primarily, and really ultimately justice alone. Justice alone. What do I mean by that? There can be an idea that if something's nice or pleasant, our government should do it. Right? The problem with that, as I know, considering all of my W-4s and 1099s, the problem with that is that no one gives free will donations to the government. So if the government is just doing something nice as opposed to something that is required by justice, then they are unjustly taking from someone else and applying it to that nice thing. Do you understand that? There has to be fairness across the board. And if at any point the government does something nice, that in fact takes away from someone else to do that nice thing. That's a problem. It's a problem. It also means that things like punishments and rewards need to be ascribed to actual merit. I know we struggle with punishment these days, but punishment is part of justice. If you do wrong, you need to pay a penalty for that. I know we struggle with that today, but it's all through Scripture, and it is in fact something that's revealed by natural justice. By the natural law. Okay. I could go on. I don't think I need to go on. I think you get the basic idea of what fairness is, and you just need to hear that the church says that's the goal, right? That's the goal of societies, of governments, etc., is justice. Not niceness, not even love, though love should always, you know, be in the background guiding all these things, but justice, fairness. Okay. Now, as a Catholic, as a Christian, as the disciple of Christ, I also want to say that that means that we need to insist on justice at all times. So, for example, if I thought the refs were cheating for the Saints, I can't just give it a pass. I'd like to give it a pass, but I can't, right? And we hear today in the first reading, and this is very important, cursed is the one who trusts in human beings, flat out. And then blessed is the one who trusts in God. But then they give an image, and this image appears a couple of times in Scripture. It's a beautiful image. The one who trusts in human beings is like a tree planted in the desert. A tree planted in the desert requires rain to survive. And since it's in the desert, rain don't happen all that often. But if you were familiar with desert plants, because you know we have such arid conditions here in Iraq, but if you're familiar with desert plants, you know that as soon as that rain falls, those desert plants blossom, boom, they explode. And then they slowly shrivel. And this is the thing that Scripture keeps on saying. It's not that your life will be miserable if you trust in human beings. It's that your life will be up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Whereas those who trust in the Lord are like those planted by running waters. Their roots reach out, and it doesn't matter if it rains. It doesn't matter if it's hot. It doesn't matter if it's cold. It's going to constantly be sustained. Right? There's a constancy that marks the true disciple of Christ. one of the reasons why I get upset. You know, I don't play sides. And whatever side's in power, it seems like the followers of that side are like, everything is perfect, right? And then when their side is out of power, all you see is posts of how everything is corrupt, right? Constitution this, Constitution that. Look, I like the Constitution. I like the Constitution no matter who's elected. The reality is, dear brothers and sisters, is we have to insist on justice at all times, because justice doesn't depend on likes or dislikes. It depends on what's right and wrong. And I hope you all in principle agree with that. You could say, well, the person I'm supporting does more right and does less wrong. Perfectly fine. But you gotta insist on right and wrong at all times. At all times. Okay. Now, there is one more principle that I want to discuss when discussing explicitly distributive justice, because this is something that a lot of people will struggle with. And it's this idea, you've probably never heard the word, and one of the reasons you probably never heard the word is I think my professors all mispronounced it, so I'm probably going to mispronounce it now, but we're going to try here. And it's the principle of epikeia. I think it's supposed to be pronounced epikeia, but it doesn't matter. Epikeia. It's what we're going to use right now. This is difficult, but I want you all to listen to me. Epikeia means that sometimes, in some cases, the strict application of the law results in greater injustice. Not greater lack of niceness, greater injustice. Let me give you an example. Let's say a guy is driving 50 miles over the speed limit. Okay. Now, I forgot to go look this up. I was supposed to go look this up, but I know that's more than a speeding ticket. Okay. It is a crime of some kind. So the cop pulls him over, checks in. The reason the guy is doing 50 miles over the speed limit is because his son is in the passenger seat bleeding out from an injury, and the guy's rushing him to the hospital. The strict application of the law means that that guy needs to be stopped, booked, etc. But in that case, the son would die. So in that case, the strict application of the law would result in greater injustice than the forgiving of the law would. Notice, this is not mercy, this is not love, this is still justice. This is still the recognition that the purpose of the law is to establish justice, to enforce justice, to make sure that things are fair. And we recognize that because life is complex, in certain situations, they can be rare, in certain situations, the strict application of the law would in fact not result in justice, but rather injustice. Okay. As you can imagine, that principle of epikeia or epikeia applies to a lot of different other things too. You know, we might even be debating some of them today. And I leave that to you to apply as you will. Are there cases where the strict application of the law actually results in greater injustice than justice? It's not my job to sit here and tell you how to vote or what policies to put in place, etc. It's not my task. My job is to tell you that Catholics have to work for justice. But as we mentioned 2 weeks ago, when that gets applied to concrete situations, it requires the virtue of prudence. And two different people of goodwill and good intellect believing the same things can even arrive at different conclusions, right? That doesn't make them an idiot. It doesn't make them a sinner. It doesn't make them evil. There's only one thing that makes you an idiot. Disagreeing with me. No, the reality, dear brothers and sisters, the reality is we have to work for justice, and we always have to keep that in mind. And as long as that's our aim, and as long as we're doing the best that we can to apply those principles, then we'll be righteous in the sight of God. We may disagree with one another, and those disagreements need to be talked about and worked out because we want to do the best that we can. But what we can't ever do is twist to working for injustice, or twist to saying, oh, well, it makes me feel bad, so I don't want the government to do whatever. It doesn't matter. We have to do what's fair, but always remembering that epikeia is part of what's fair. It's part of what's fair. It's not mercy. It's not niceness. It is strictly, flatly justice. And as disciples of a just God, we must be people who are always working for justice. God bless you all.